Hello and welcome. In this edition of the show, we're chatting with Rob Quester. And if you stay listening, you'll find out how Rob learnt a very sobering lesson that almost cost him everything. He also tells us how setbacks can actually be a good thing in business and why he thinks writing a book really can make a difference to your life. Rob Quester, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Great to speak with you, Rob. Now, I have to say, your CV is incredibly impressive. So I wanted to start by asking, how did you start in marketing?
Back in 1997, I caught the coaching bug when coaching was, you know, was an industry that hadn't even just started. And I attended an NLP, a neuro-linguistic programming course. And at the time, I was working for one of the big consulting firms in London. And I thought this would be a great thing. We should be building coaching into what we do. And of course, nobody agreed with me. And a few years later, I decided this is it. Coaching is the way ahead. I'm going to set out on my own. And with that impressive CV that you mentioned just then, of course, the world would be my oyster and everybody would be beating a path to my door. So in 2002, I walked out of what at the time was a $140,000 a year job, not realizing that I had just become a $14,000 a year coach. Because predictably, nobody knew who I was and nobody wanted to hire me. So that was how I got started. By making the mistake a lot of entrepreneurs make, which is not thinking about what my market was going to be or what I was going to be offering, and just taking a great idea that I thought the world needed and deciding that I was going to go out and offer it. And it took me a few years to figure out that I'd made that mistake, literally until about 2005. So 3 years of earning very small amounts. And the only reason that I can say it was a $14,000 a year was because in the first year, I actually made about three times that. And then in the following 2 years, I made virtually nothing. So it wasn't until 2005 that I got what I always call my lost days. That I'd got to the beginning of 2005, and I realized I've got no clients, I've got no money, and I was very rapidly heading towards bankruptcy. And I spent 2 days being mad at the world, being mad at my prospective clients for not hiring me, being mad at myself for being so stupid. And at the end of those 2 days, I sat down and I did something that I should have done in the very first place, which was I actually sat down and started setting some goals. And the first goal I set myself was that by the end of the year, I'd be making 100,000 sterling, which at the time was about $160,000 US. I made it by the end of 2005 to something like 96,000. So I fell 4,000 short of my goal, but I let myself off the extra 4,000. I kind of guessed I'd got close to the intent, but I'd managed to turn it around in that year.
Sounds like you learned a really sobering lesson as well off the back of that. That's quite a story in terms of, you know, as you say, sometimes it's the false security, isn't it? You're in a job, you're being paid, and you think, if I leave, I'll take all these clients with me. But of course, it doesn't always work like that.
No, it really doesn't work like that a lot of the time. And, you know, they always say, if you want to make God laugh, show him your business plan. Well, I hadn't even got to the point of having a business plan. It was literally just I decided one day that I'd had enough and that I was going to go and set the world on fire. And instead of doing it the sensible way by kind of tapering in and doing some work on the side and building up the business, in my own time, I went cold turkey. I literally walked into my boss's office and said, hey, I quit. And yes, as you say, it was a sobering lesson.
And I was going to say, you know, in terms of once you'd done that and you know, you'd gone through that process yourself, I guess that also gave you like an insight, if you like, into how not to do it. So if you talk to other people, if you train other people, this is like, don't follow this advice. Do the complete opposite.
Well, exactly. Yeah, because I got to 2005 and I'd had 3 years of basically treading water. And it was only in 2005 that I thought, well, I don't have a client base. And so I need to find a way of building clients very quickly. And quite by chance, I started doing joint ventures. And that was literally what saved the business and saved me, was finding, I mean, the first joint venture I tried was wasn't as successful. And I can remember I'd arranged it wasn't even a webinar, it was a teleconference with a competitor slash peer slash JV partner in North America. And I remember dialing in from a hotel in Newcastle. And it was dialing in hotels on an international line was ridiculously expensive. And so we were on the line for however long, for an hour or whatever, doing this teleconference. And of course, at that point, I still hadn't learned my lesson. So we got to the end of the webinar and I suddenly realized I hadn't really thought about the call to action. And so I very quickly kind of came up with a call to action. And that joint venture netted me something like $100, which didn't even cover the cost of the phone call. So I went back to the drawing board, set up another joint venture with a joint venture partner that was a better match for me and for my skill set, which was personal branding. It was which is ironic. And that joint venture got me up to a few thousand, and then at the end of that year I did what literally got me to the 100,000 mark was that during that year I found a partner that was perfectly aligned, and I had the right offer for their audience, and they were desperately in need of what I was offering. And by the end of that year, that had turned into almost a six figure in sterling business partner, and it was around 160,000 of business in US dollars. But it was finding that, you know, just finding that one partnership, which is something that I say to people now, is, you know, if you can find the right partners and the right alliances to make, that can be the difference between having a very expensive hobby or having a viable and valid and successful business.
It's really true. And I guess the, you know, the really interesting part in this is it's almost like you went from, as you say, you quit a well-paid job, relatively well-paid job. So it was riches to rags, and then almost back to riches again from the joint ventures that you started to develop in that time. Can we just put like a time frame on this, Rob? So you mentioned that you quit your job in the early 2000s, and then how long was it before, you know, you say 3 years before you realized that you had a, like almost like a failing business? And then off the back of that, how quickly was it before you started to turn the corner and see that actually this now is moving in the right direction?
That was literally a 12-month shift. At the start of January 2005, I thought, this is it. Everything is everything has failed. I'm going to have to go back and get a job, and I'm going to have to eat humble pie maybe to my old employer and things. But literally by the end of that year, that big joint venture had delivered, the big payoff.
That was the turnaround year, I guess.
That was the turnaround, yeah.
And then in the last 15 years, I mean, things have really gone from great to stratospheric, I guess, in terms of what you've achieved. I know we talked about, the books that you've written so far, and also that you've moved into more of the personal branding side of things. Can you just walk me through the process of that, Rob? What made you want to, first of all, then, turn what you were doing into the books, first of all?
Yeah. Well, let's go back to that 2005 transformation. By the end of 2008, I'd then built a very successful one-man business. So I was traveling all over the world. I was working with big corporations. I was coaching senior partners in big professional services firms. And you probably remember 2008 is memorable for one big thing, which is that in October 2008, the world collapsed. So October 2008, I was literally packing to jump on a plane to New York to go and coach one of my clients. And I get a phone call saying, hey, you're supposed to be with us next week, but we've decided we're not going to go ahead. The market has collapsed, so don't bother getting on the plane. And that was the start of having gone riches to rags to riches. Literally 2008, I was facing going back to rags again. But this time it didn't take me 3.5 years to figure out what I was doing wrong. And so I very quickly started to get things moving again, to turn it around. Again, going with, initially my first gut reaction was joint ventures is what's kept me going. Joint ventures will help me. And they did. The other thing I did, which I hadn't done before at that point, was I joined a mastermind group. I suddenly realized, hey, I need other smart people around me. And that was the point at which I joined my first mastermind group, which some people would think was insane when all your clients are disappearing, to go and spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 being in a room with other people. Might seem ridiculous, but I needed to be around people whose businesses were successful and learn from them. And so that was the point at which I discovered the power of masterminding. That was, it very quickly turned around again. And so end of 2008, the business was facing collapse. By the end of 2009, I'd got it back up to 200,000 and beyond. And then around 2010, I started to get people who hadn't recovered from the crash saying, how did you do that? Can you teach me? And that was how I went from running a business to then being asked to teach people how to grow their business for themselves. And I ended up building a business that in some respects I didn't much enjoy, because I ended up running a business where I was managing outsourcers. I'd built a business where we would build the marketing platform for our clients. We would help them to build their website. We would help them to create their products. We would help them to write their book. In fact, we didn't help them to write their book, and that was the mistake I made, was we told them that they needed a book as part of their marketing platform, but we were literally just saying, you need to write a book. Here's some hints and some guidelines, and by the end of the year, hopefully you'll have done it. And so I was running a bunch of website developers, and I was running a bunch of email copywriters and things like that. And I realized when, after a few years, that that wasn't the business, that wasn't what I liked my role to be. I am not a project manager by nature. I'm a strategist. I'm a thinker. And I love being out and delivering. And I love going out and presenting. And I love writing. But I do not like checking boxes off on a Excel spreadsheet and looking at project plans and things. And so in 2014, when we moved to Canada, I took the opportunity and I thought, well, if I don't like the business that I'm running, what business do I want to be running? And I thought the very first thing that we tell our clients to do is that they need a book. And there's a big difference between the clients that we had who had written a book and the ones who hadn't. And the ones who had written a book were going great guns, and they were very successful, and they were getting clients, and they were making money. And the ones who hadn't written their book didn't have that level of success. And so I thought, right, I like writing. I know the value of a book as a marketing tool, and I know how to build marketing campaigns around a book. And so we got rid of everything and focused on the book, and I built a team of writers and graphic designers, because I thought, right, if the problem is that if I just tell people to write a book, some of them do and some of them don't, let's take that away and let's just write the book for them. And so that became Bright Flame Books, the company that I run now. It was born out of the realization that if you just tell someone, hey, a book is really useful in marketing, you need to write one, the chances are that you'll see them again 2 years down the line and they still won't have written it. Whereas if we took all of that hassle away, and then we could say to them, right, let's write the book, and now let's build the marketing campaigns around that book, then they at least had a fighting chance of being successful with it.
It's really interesting. And also, I think one of the key takeaways that from what you've just been talking about, Rob, is that sometimes the trajectory of your business can be like that proverbial roller coaster. It can go up, it can go down, it can come back up again, it can go back down again. I think a lot of people believe that, as you set off in business, that it should all be rainbows and butterflies and everything should go, you know, swimmingly well, and that line of growth should just continue up, that steep line going up. But it doesn't always work out like that. And it's great to hear that not only have you overcome those setbacks, but also it's almost driven you in a way to almost reevaluate yourself and where you are at that time. And instead of just giving up, you've actually gone, no, this is an opportunity for me to reevaluate and work out where have things gone wrong and what do I need to do now? How can I invest in myself and in my business to be able to you know, to get back on the right track? So yeah, that's really interesting to read. Now, you mentioned that you have your publishing company, Bright Flame Books. Could you just maybe talk to me a little bit more about that and the process that you take people through in order to create their own book?
Sure. The big